You are listening to Grandpa Lampshade on RadioArian.com.
That's right, folks. It's time once again for the Church of the Lampshade with Grandpa Lampshade. I thank you, as always, for joining us this week. Hopefully, we'll have a good visit, a good discussion. I was thinking back over the old Thoughts of the Day program and how this show, I want it to be different. I'm trying to incorporate some of the things from the old Thoughts of the Day show. But yet this show is meant to be different, and it's a trial and error thing. It really is. I'm sure those of you who discovered this new show, and there's still sadly a lot of people haven't. I've had people send support, and they're like, "I really miss you. I wish you'd start doing shows again." And when able, when they've sent me an email address, I email them back, you know, and it's like, well, your wish has come true because we're doing it. So, yeah, be sure and let folks know that we do have a show up. A lot of people still apparently don't realize that, your humble lampshade is back on the air. So what you can do, if you can get the word out to those that you know are fellow lampshade listeners, and be sure they know that we do have a new show. But it is a different show, and it's a trial and error thing, and I appreciate y'all bearing with me on it, because it is, I'm feeling my way through this entire thing. You know, some people have asked me, you know, why didn't you just continue the old Thoughts of the Day program? And the answer is quite simply, I mean, this is a new chapter in my life. As you well know, I mean, it's been turned upside down, inside out. I mean, we're just 3 months into this year, fixing to be 4 months, actually, by the time this show airs. And this year already has been one of, if not the most tumultuous years in my life. And I mean, everything's been turned upside down. I am having to learn new things and try new things. It's a new chapter. It's a new chapter. And I felt like if my life is taking on a new chapter, that it's only right that the show should also take on a new chapter. And again, though, it's trial and error. And as I've tried to figure out what this show is going to be, what it's going to do. And as the name indicates, I mean, because out of all the people that have written and contacted me and said, you know, how much they love Thoughts of the Day, the vast majority also added, especially the Church of the Lampshade segment. And the idea here is for that to be the center now. The Christian message to Christian believers is supposed to be the central message of the show. It's what we want it to be. I mean, yes, we have a visit beforehand, because if nothing else, because I can't preach to you for a solid hour. I just can't. The Spirit doesn't move in me that long, you know. And is it, even though you read the scripture, and it's like so many times, you know, Christ would like make his point and then move on, you know. And then it's kind of like that for me, even, you know. I mean, it's like I make the point, and then it's like sometimes you can tell. Even I'll sit there, and it's like, oh wow, you know, I feel moved, and then. And we're discussing this truth and the scripture, and we're doing it. And then it's like, that's it. You know, and I look at the timer, and it's like, well, that didn't last very long. You know, and I wind up sometimes lapsing into kind of repeating myself, because it's like, well, I've got to fill some time here. And that's not really good either. So, but no, I couldn't sit here and preach for an hour. So, and we do. We enjoy discussing and visiting about other things, just random things. I mean, and I'm doing more now. I'm able to, I'm on Fridays now, I'm on the Daily Nationalist with Sven Longshanks. I'm getting offers to come on and sit down and visit with other people on their shows, which are unique and really fun opportunities. And I'm grateful for those things. And those are things that if if I was still employed at a, you know, all day, basically sun up, sun down, putting in all these hours type of job, I wouldn't be able to do those things. So in that, I'm grateful. But as to the show, yes, I want the Christian segment has always got to be the center point of the show. I mean, like, for instance, you know, but yet I keep trying different things. Sometimes I try different things. Last week I tried, you know, because on Thoughts of the Day, I had, you know, from time to time would have someone else on the show, and it would always be kind of a fun thing. And, you know, we tried that last week, and that's not going to work. It's not going to work because there's just no way to do it in the time constraints allowed and things such as that. And we wind up pushing our Christian discussion back to the end of the show again, and we're just right back to kind of doing the same stuff we were doing, and it defeats the whole purpose of why I wanted to do the show, what I want this show to be. And again, it's trial and error, so I appreciate y'all bearing with me. We're not going to have other people on the show because it's not going to work. So from here on, it'll be solo shows, and I've learned that, and again, I'll probably try some other things that it's like, meh, that didn't work out. But we're going to try some things that maybe some new ideas, you know, that will work out. Maybe incorporate some things in our discussions and our visits. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to have a visit this week. Then we'll get into our Christian message. I remember back on the Thoughts of the Day show, you know, we did all kinds of visits and stuff. And some of my favorite shows were when we just literally talked about life and talked about just things that concerned us and stuff like that, and how much I really enjoyed those talks with y'all. I think we're going to try to do a little more of that. I mean, the fact of the matter is, if you want to hear somebody sit here and read news articles to you and comment on them, there's 6 million podcasts out there doing that. I mean, you know, while it may be more fun, obviously, to discuss them with me, or if you think that, I appreciate it. But the fact is, there's like 6 million podcasts doing that. I mean, if you just, the only thing you care hearing about is ranting about the Jews, there's 6 million podcasts doing that, too. And then, yeah, we're going to discuss, and when we feel it, we're going to point out things that the Jews are doing. But just as far as if that's all you want to hear, I mean, that's just becomes tedious after a while. I want this. I want our visits, our discussion that we have before our Christian segment to be something, you know, I mean, it's literally like we're sitting on a porch or we're sitting around a table and we're just visiting and thinking about life and things and where we are as a people and what we want to see happen. Just a real personal type discussion. So as I fumble my way through this and get it all ironed out and figured out, again, I wanted to tell y'all that I do appreciate you bearing with me, and do keep in mind that I'm trying to figure so much of this stuff out as I go. Getting to the financial support, I've been reflecting for the past week, and I've actually had, you know, I've had supporters point this out to me and in a very supportive and way, you know, about the way I have approached the financial support thing. And they're right. I mean, I've been unintentionally, I've been kind of almost dismissive about it. You know, I say, well, let's get to the shekel grubbing. And that's just, again, it's a failure on my part, is because this is so new to me and I feel like I'm rattling the tin cup for everybody. And it's almost embarrassing. You know, for me, I'm a prideful white guy, you know, and I've always just, you know, nose to the grindstone, done a regular job all day type of thing. And when we were doing these shows, I wasn't looking for income. We gave people the opportunity to sponsor the show. But, you know, as we turn this new chapter and, you know, I do now require financial support. And it's, for me personally, you know, it's been almost feeling like asking for charity or something. And it's really, honestly, it's bothered me. But at the same time, as I've reflected on this, I realized that if I'm going to convey an attitude of, like, you know, embarrassment or a flippant attitude, almost as just trying to skip past that, like it's not important, or, you know, that it's not something that I can accept or be even proud of, then how can I expect other people to feel prouder or motivated to support the work we're doing, to support moving forward as I do continue to plan to take legal action. But even beyond the legal action, I mean, I'm trying to put together all these different forms of income, some of which have nothing to do with my work here, but my work here is a part of that. And hopefully what we do here is something that you will all feel moved in the spirit, or just moved because you like what we visit and discuss about, to financially be a part of financially supporting that we can continue to do these things together. That, yeah, I do now have the freedom to be on the Daily Nationalist or to guest on a show, you know, with somebody that I've never sat down and visited with before. That, you know, you think these things are worthwhile. And again, if I've come off as dismissive about that, I apologize for that. It's just a failing on my part again, because this is all new to me. It really is. This is all very much new to me and very, to be honest, very difficult. I mean, there's a level of uncertainty week by week. I never know what shoe's going to drop next. You know, every day there's something. Sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad, but there's a level of uncertainty when you work a normal job. Sun up, sun down, nose to the grindstone, 5, 6, maybe even 7 days a week. You know, it's like enslavement, but at the same time, it's reassuring because, you know, that routine, yes, you're never going to get rich doing this, but you know what you got, and you know when it's coming in, and you can plan around that, and nothing upsets the apple cart, and everything rocks along smoothly. But it's almost like a slave mentality. I'm going to tell you, it is a one-way street. If you never lose perspective, folks, that you're an employee when you work your job, even if it's a job you like, just never lose perspective that you're an employee and that's all you're ever going to be to them. Even if you're on great friendly terms with your boss, as I was, you know, if you're on great friendly terms and you think they're really good people and things such as that, I mean, that's all fine and good. And you know, I'm not saying you should have an antagonistic relationship with those who, you know, are your employers, and you know, you obviously shouldn't do that, but don't lose perspective that they're not, in the end, they're not your friends. I mean, you may be friendly with them, you may even personally like them, there's nothing wrong with that, but understand the minute they think it is in their financial interest to cut you loose, they're going to cut you loose. But our society is indoctrinated with this to keep employees, to keep the workers trapped in a slave mentality. Now you look at things like the 2-week notice. You got to give a 2-week notice. You got to give a 2-week notice to your employer. You owe it to your employer to give them a 2-week notice. And that's fine. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But let me tell you something. If it's Wednesday, and you find yourself with the opportunity to get to land your dream job. Your job, this is, you've been blessed with an opportunity dropping into your lap to do your dream job. The only condition is they tell you, hey, you're in, but you got to start Monday. And it's Wednesday of the previous week, and the only way you can land your dream job is to basically give a 2-day notice, say Friday's your last day and start your dream job on Monday. Let me tell you something. Do not pass that opportunity up. It's your financial well-being. It's your business decision. Even if you're an employee, and I mean, for me, I'm learning now to be my own business. I mean, all these different things I do are like a business for me now, in that, you know, I'm counting on all these little different things I'm doing, like the online merchandise store and things such as that, to bring in all this different kind of little, and hope it all adds up to where at the end of the week, you know, I can keep the lights on and support my family comfortably. But even as an employee, you yourself, you have to view yourself as you are your business. And what you are selling is your time and your labor to your employer. And in that context, you don't owe him any more than what he owes you. If it's a Wednesday and you get the opportunity to start your dream job on Monday, and the only way you can get that dream job is on Monday, grab the dream job. Because I'm going to tell you again, when they decide to cut you loose, you're not getting a 2-week notice. You're not getting, unless it's a rare instance, you're not getting severance pay. You're not getting anything except called off to the side and they're going to cut you loose. The minute, I don't care how close you are, I don't care what a good relationship you have with your employer, make no mistake, the minute they believe it's in their financial interest to cut you loose, you're gone. That's the reality of the situation, and your loyalty should always be viewed in that context. Speaking of the fundraising, you know, of supporting what we're doing here, supporting legal action, supporting me being able to continue to do the things I want to do. Y'all know what to do. The information will be at the bottom of the description, but let's go ahead and read it out. You can address this stuff to legal fund. Some people are uncomfortable with that. They feel as though, you know, because sticky fingers, you know, in the diversity post office. If you're worried about that, just put box holder on there. That's another good option. But the address is P.O. Box 6621, Granbury, Texas 76049. I've enjoyed the letters. I've read every single letter written. I've enjoyed the postcards from places that I could only dream about ever seeing. And checks, cash, money orders, it's all good. Checks, money orders can be made out to Dan Jeffries because I'm already doxxed, so my name's already out there. It doesn't matter. Also, there's Bitcoin address down there. If you do another crypto, I can probably get you an address for that as well. So appreciate the ongoing support. And we're not going to be apologetic for it. We're going to be proud of it. I'm going to be proud that y'all have chosen to support what we're doing and what we're trying to do moving forward. That the messages that you get here and such, that you feel it's worth supporting. It's something to be proud of. I'm going to be proud to receive it. I'm not going to come across anymore as dismissive. And again, it wasn't ever my intention, but I realized upon self-reflection and again, thankfully some others have pointed it out to me. It just takes me a while to soak it in sometimes. And we're going to be proud of that moving forward. Speaking of moving forward, as we move forward in this week's visit, I tell you, a visit is always two ways. So let's see here. This is from Rock Dad. Rock Dad would like to hear about, you know, comment on white kids in school who think the black kids are so cool and have some weird admiration for them. It's so irritating to see the black kids chimping out and the white kids act like it's so cool. Is this generation being niggerfied? I'm sure the modern day entertainment industry has a lot to do with these negative influence on our kids. And yeah, you really, Rock Dad, you've really kind of answered your own question. It's exactly what it is. And it's easy to see these things. You know, you see the wiggers, you know, trying to act ridiculous, you know, like grow dreadlocks and stuff, or, you know, try to act like they're black and stuff. And those people, those white people kind of stick out, you know, but it's in so doing, it's real easy to overlook the white kids that are just going through their business. They're doing their time in school like you're doing prison time or something. They're just trying to get out. You know, they're just going through their day to day, trying to get their education and trying to move on with their lives. Those kids kind of tend to fade into the background, and it's easy to focus on the ones that act as though blacks are something to be, you know, held in high esteem and admired. And again, that's not even running blacks down. Blacks have their own unique culture, and it's their culture. You know, when the blacks get offended and accuse you of appropriating their culture, well, I agree with them on that. We shouldn't be appropriating their culture. It's theirs. It's stupid for us to be running around mimicking them. It's an insult to us. It's an insult to them. But yes, it's absolutely to do with the entertainment industry, the echo entertainment industry. They push that, this constant glorification. Any TV show you watch or whatever, I mean, we know the stereotypical layout of virtually every show on TV. The black people are either the funniest guys, they're the voice of wisdom, they're always held to a higher esteem. And, you know, the white people are always a few notches down. in that. And even if they're on the rare occasion that the white people aren't the butt of the joke or playing the dumb buffoon or the clueless idiot or whatever, it's a constant message. And it's hard not to be exposed to that. And of course, young people are going to be more susceptible to receiving that message. It's kind of, it's no different than, but again, you don't want to lose perspective that they're not all falling into that. It's kind of like the mud shark thing. It's kind of like mud sharking. The echo media, they push the mud sharking thing just constantly. I mean, it's in almost every commercial. I don't watch a lot of TV. Usually it's sitting there waiting for the news to come on so I can see the weather or see what today's propaganda is going to be. But I don't really watch the TV shows. But when you do, and you see these commercials and you really pay attention, I mean, I would almost venture that 2/3 of the commercials will feature some version of white female, black male. It's a constant push. It's a constant push in the media. And you see it in print advertising. You see it all the time. You see it all the time. And you know, women, much like young people, are very susceptible to these media narratives, these social narratives. They're very susceptible to picking up social cues. And I mean, it's just their genetics. I'm not putting down women. I mean, it's part of what makes women when our roles in society are proper, women actually will serve as a stabilizing force in society. Now, things have gotten so screwed up because of cultural Marxism that they've turned that on its head and messed up women's roles, and women have kind of become a destabilizing force in society. But when our natural roles are being fulfilled, the fact that women tend to be more receptive to these social cues to try to bring a certain amount of blending and harmony to the society, to their world around, that's actually a stabilizing force. And when everything's in its natural order, that's a good thing. That's a very good thing. So women tend to be more receptive to these social cues and you know, of what's acceptable in society, and that's why they target them. That's why you see so much of this white female, black male coupling, like on commercials, things such as that. But even with that. With the just almost 24/7 nonstop media message that this is what you should do if you're a white woman and you really want to be with the times, you should be with a black man. It's still a very rare thing. And we dog on mud sharks, deservedly so, but really, it's a rare thing. Yes, it happens. I mean, yes, you see it out there. As a society, it's still a rare thing. And I think that says something in the fact that there's this constant media deluge of this message that this is what women should do. You look at the small percentage of women that actually go the mud shark route. And then out of that small percentage, 2/3 of them are, I mean, disgusting drags. I mean, seriously, that's probably the best they can do. We're not losing anything out of the gene pool with these bitches, you know. And so 2/3 of them out of this tiny percentage already are the dregs. So you have this other 1/3 that don't look too bad. But the fact of the matter is they've got probably in all likelihood some sort of mental issues growing up as their childhood or whatever, daddy issues, whatever you want to say, that has made them choose this route. And so to kind of get back to the topic that Rock Dad brought up here for as we discuss it, you know, it's kind of the same way with young people. I mean, there is this constant message. And you, if you want to be the cool kids, you know, the cool kids are the blacks. And the more diversity they're around, yeah, the more they realize that's a lie. And again, while a lot of the young people will fall into that, out of the ones that do that, a lot of them will grow out of it. And again, it's real easy to look at them because they stand out. And the white kids that are just going, they're just putting in their time. They're just putting in their time, looking to get out of school, move on to the next thing. They fade off into the background and you don't notice them because you have these clowns bouncing around trying to act as though they're something they're not. I feel old and crabby. I feel like Clint Eastwood, you know, in El Torino when he told the white wigger kid, you know, they're not your bro. And they don't want to be. I don't blame them, you know. After getting out of the truck and looking at the blacks and saying, what are you spooks doing? Or what, you know, hey, thanks, bro. Looks at the white kid. I'm not your bro. They're not your bro. They don't want to be your bro. I don't blame them, you know, because it's all so ridiculous. But yeah, you know, that's out there. It's 100% the media message. It's this, the media message promotes this continually. But again, don't lose sight of the ones that are just, they disappear in the background because they're not doing that and they don't stand out. You know, we were talking, I was mentioning earlier, different projects I'm working on. And I'll tell you, you know, I did one book. It was my first experiment, my first venture into book writing. And I've offered it and continue to offer it to supporters, if you'll drop me an email address. And it's kind of a selfish thing on my part. You're like my guinea pigs, you know, I subject you to my first book. But at least you didn't really, I mean, it's like a thank you for your support, but it's freebie. So if you read it and it's like, man, that sucked. It's like, well, at least you didn't waste any money on it. But you're like my guinea pigs. And I wrote the first book. But again, it's just selfish on my part because you have to give me your email address to get that free PDF copy of the book. And that gives me an opportunity to send you a note thanking you for your support. You know, somebody said, you ought to write letters to people, you know, who send you support. And it's like some of the return addresses, my personal favorite being the Chick-fil-A one. Some of the, you know, it's safe to say that probably 9 out of 10 of the return addresses are completely bogus. Some of them more obvious than others. So yeah, no, I can't really do that. But if I get your email address, I can. And yes, I do wind up shredding this stuff afterwards. But you know, I want to be sure I protect everybody's anonymity. But anyway, yeah, I wrote the first book, and I will tell you this: I'm currently writing my second book, and this is a serious. I just took the first one serious in it, but it was very much a learning experience. The second one is on the state of the modern church, and it's going to be very serious, and it's going to take me longer to write. But it's so far, I'm really liking what's shaping up, and I think it's going to be something really, really special. And it's going to take me a while to get it done, but I think this is going to be something that is really neat. I think it's going to be something that can be marketed widely, and hopefully will move a lot of people and open their eyes to realize how the modern cuck church is completely subverted and is actually leading people to destruction. That's why it's important, is it? Even outside of the context of how it degrades our society, then it does. There's a reason the church had to be subverted. There's a reason, you know, we talk about nationalism and the importance of nationalism. And so many people, it's like they have their one thing, you know, and there's all of these things that make a functioning society, that make nationalism work. And it's like people that even support nationalism, it's like they're only able... It's like so many people are only able to grasp one aspect of it. And when they grasp that one aspect, they think that's the only aspect and that's all they want to harp on, instead of looking at this bigger picture and understanding that these other things matter too. You have to have all these things come together to have a functioning, cohesive nation, a functioning, cohesive, civilized society. And yes, I mean, Christianity is a part of that. And some people disagree with that, but that's fine. You're wrong. But you're, free, you know, I mean, you're obviously, I don't have control over you. You're free to disagree all you want. There was a reason that when Putin began returning nationalism to Russia, that one of the first things he did was to strengthen up and encourage and support the Russian Orthodox Church. I mean, there was a reason for that. He didn't do that because, you know, just for on a whim. There's a reason for that. You have all these different things that have to come together to have a stable, cohesive, nationalistic, civilized society. And this, it's definitely plays a part, has played a part for hundreds of years. No, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that's the only part, but it is a part. Again, I think so many people, it's like they get focused on this one thing. And yes, that's an aspect of it, but these other things, and they want to just dismiss the other things that are also important aspects of it, because what they've glommed on to is this one thing. We've got to have this. Yes, we have to have that. We also have to have these other things. I don't know. It's kind of like... It's kind of like if you notice like how like everybody, I don't know, egos and things such as that. It's kind of like how everybody is part of the nationalistic movement will say, you know, I don't want to be a leader. I'm not a leader. But, you know, on some of them, you can tell they really do, you know, by how butthurt they get if people are talking about someone else and not them. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, yeah, I'm not a leader. You know, but you can tell by the way they react when the topic is something other than themselves, how butthurt they get. He's like, yeah, you really do. Not me. I really don't. I want to promote my show. I want to get people back to the reality of the real Christianity, to understanding the truth. And I'm just happy to support nationalism and support the Christian truth. That's my goal. I've been a manager. Anybody that's been, if you've been in management, if you've been in charge of other people, it's a pain. It's a pain in the ass. It really is. You know, people that really deep down in their hearts, they picture themselves being a leader and this is a great thing. If you never actually had any version of that role, let me tell you, it is. It's a pain in the ass, because when you're just like an employee, responsible for yourself, you know, when you're a leader, you're responsible for yourself and everything these other guys do that are under you. Even when you're not around, even when they do stuff you didn't tell them to do, you wind up being ultimately responsible for that. And it's burdensome, to say the least. So yeah, no, I have no desire. I really don't. And I say that honestly. I don't say that like, I don't want to be a leader. Yeah, I really don't. I don't envision myself in that role at all. But I do envision trying to bring people closer to the truth and getting back to and reestablishing, at least for some. At least for some. I don't have any grand visions that I can necessarily single-handedly stop the corruption that the modern cut church has become. But if I can restore the truth in the hearts of some of you that have heard from, that, you know, have told me I've turned back to my faith because of our discussions of truth here on this show, it's worth it. If we can reach a dozen people, it's worth it. That's our goal here. That is my end goal, to really bring people back, because this is an important part, you know. And some will sit there and say, well, then you're not really about supporting nationalism. Yes, I am, because this is an important part of it. It's an aspect. I don't have some vision that I'm this important person that's going to single-handedly bring my country back to nationalism. I'm just trying to do my little part, and I do believe it is an important part. Let's go ahead and get in to this week's sermon at the Church of the Lampshade. Let's go ahead and fill those pews. That's right, it's time for the actual sermon for the Church of the Lampshade. The whole show is the Church of the Lampshade. But we've been sitting around visiting outside of church, and you know, now I put on my reverend frock coat there. Now I'm standing at the door, saying they're looking at y'all. Come on, time to get in here. We're going to get into our sermon for this week. So go ahead, let's get in here and fill the pews, and let's get to this week's sermon here in the Church of the Lampshade. I feel like I'm trying, I don't know if it's allergies, the fact that I'm still vaping way the hell too much, but I feel like I'm trying to lose my voice, and hopefully we'll go ahead and get through the rest of the show without that happening. It's just been horrible. The wind has been up and blowing. And I looked the other day, and like the hood on my vehicle was just like a chartreuse color, like a green yellow from all the pollen. So between that and the fact that, again, I'm still just vaping entirely too much, I don't know. My voice doesn't seem to hold out as long as it used to, but we'll soldier on. We'll get through it. So yeah, let's get into this week's sermon. As always, we like to start off with scripture. It gives us a basis for our sermon. And this week we're going to discuss something we've discussed before. We're going to wind up discussing again because it's one of those messages that we as Christian believers, we get beat about the head by those who are non-believers to Christianity. It's just this horrible subversive thing. It's like the antithesis to an actual to nationalism, to our own societies. It is, honestly, it's beyond tiring, and I understand people's point of view, that people's view of history is that of their own lifetimes. But good night. I mean, Christianity has held such a role in our society for hundreds of years, and yet people run around and act like the modern church, Christianity. Well, I mean, it's fortunately, yes, it's subverted Christianity that we have today. It doesn't make the last hundreds of years of Christian history non-existent. It doesn't erase that from existence, because yes, now we have this subverted version of Christianity. It doesn't erase the role that Christianity has always traditionally played in our society. Yes, the church has been subverted. Yes, as Christian believers, we've stood around and allowed that to happen. We try to turn that around now as we try to continue, and you turn that around with the truth. And again, this the scripture we're going to use this week is one of those familiar ones that we get beat about the head quite a bit by those that don't understand it. But unfortunately, a lot of believers don't understand it either. It's one of the passages of scripture that the subversives that have destroyed or attacked and really brought down the church have used. Wolves in sheep clothing have used to mislead believers. One of the things that really makes me angry, it really does, and there's nothing wrong, by the way, as a Christian believer, there's nothing wrong with being angry. There's really not, as long as it's a righteous anger. You don't want to just, I mean, you don't want to go through your life with hatred and anger in your heart, but there's nothing wrong with a righteous anger. We read over and over in the scripture about the Lord's wrath, the Lord being angry. Well, if God can get angry, and we can learn a lot about God by ourselves, we're his creation, we're a reflection of him. And if God gets angry, then it's okay for us to get angry. We just want to be, especially a righteous anger, an anger that comes up out of the Spirit. And one of the things that really makes me angry about the modern subverted church is the fact that you have people that on some level or another, I mean, you have some a lot now that have been invited into the church, and that's how it got subverted. They brought in all of these people and basically have given them the message that Jesus loves them no matter what, and repentance is not required, and so on and so forth. But I mean, there are those who, I mean, the reason they're there is they're trying to get closer to God. They want to understand the truth. They want to enter the kingdom of God. I remember when Jesus, and I don't have the scripture in front of me, so I'm not repeating it verbatim, but you know, when Jesus was basically cursing out the Pharisees and telling them that not only, you know, are you going to hell, you're preventing people that want to enter the kingdom of God, you're preventing them from getting in as well. And that's the modern cup church. You've got these people that, you know, on some level, they want to attain the kingdom of God. They want to get to the truth. They want to understand Christ. They want to understand the Holy Spirit. They want to feel this closeness, this connection with their Creator. And these people, these quote-unquote leaders, these who teach false doctrine, keep these people from entering. These people are responsible. You know, God says that you cover over a multitude of sin, of your own sins, by bringing one soul to Christ, by bringing one soul, by saving one soul, bringing them to the truth and setting them on the path. You cover over a multitude of your own sins. In other words, you get great credit for that. But what of these so-called church leaders that are actually preventing people from entering the kingdom of God? By extension of that, they're responsible for sending, if these people don't get to the truth and continue to preach heresies, continue to believe lies, then these so-called leaders, they're responsible for preventing people who might have entered the kingdom of God to instead facing judgment. They're going to be responsible for people going to hell. What a horrible, frightening thing that is, isn't it? It's a horrible, frightening idea. Okay, so let's we started down this road. Let's get to our scripture reading this week. We're going to be looking in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 39 through 48. Some of y'all are already knowing where we're going when I'm telling you what scripture we're reading, don't you? This is Jesus speaking. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Turn the other cheek. How many times do we get beat over the head with this one from the non-believers? We're a cuck religion. Our religion teaches us to be a doormat. It's a lie. I was going to sit here and read all of this and then kind of go back over. I don't think we're going to do it that way. We're going to read a verse, I think, and really bear down. We're going to bear down. And again, we've discussed this before, and I'm sure we'll discuss it again, because time and time again, we get hit with this. And it's easy to fall into the trap of believing what other people say about you. It is. You'll catch yourself doing that. Believe me, when you get a significant number of enemies who are talking about you, you'll catch yourself starting to get a mindset where you believe the things they say, and you will lose sight. We can sit here and discuss this truth, and after we're done discussing this truth, you'll probably come away with it with this, yes, I get it, you know, and you get it, and you feel strengthened by it. But weeks go by, months go by, and people are harping on you. See, Jesus is telling you to be a cuck and not to fight for your rights. And see, it's a cuck religion. It's always been a cuck religion. And blah, 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 blah. And pretty soon you'll find yourself losing that truth. It starts withering away. It becomes like the seed that fell on shallow ground. It sprouted up right away, but then when the sun beat down on it, it didn't have enough root to stay hold, and you'll lose hold of that, and you'll start falling into being basically unable to continue to hold to that truth. So in that mindset, we're going to continue to sometimes come back and keep revisiting these topics to keep watering that grain of truth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Understand him. There is a difference. First, there is a difference in the scripture between evil and wickedness. Evil things happen to you. If you go in a scriptural sense, if you're driving down the road and someone ran a stop sign and smashed into your car and severely injured you, that would be an evil thing. It wouldn't necessarily be a wicked thing. The guy that ran the stop sign didn't do it intending to hurt you. It was an accident, but it would be considered an evil thing. This is an evil thing under the sun. It's something bad that's happened to you, because we have bad things happen to us in this world. And in the scripture, these things are often referred to as evil things. So when he says do not resist evil, he's not telling you not to resist wickedness. We're constantly supposed to be resisting wickedness. It's understanding that people are going to do you wrong. And the theme, as we continue to go through here, and we'll get to it a little, we're going to expand on it as we go along to help you understand, because you're sitting there going, well, what do you mean do not resist evil? Understand that these things are going to happen to you. These things are going to happen to you. And if you take every single one of them personally, and so I always talk about it, regardless of what my detractors may say, I don't go through my life with the emotion of hate in me. And one of the reasons is I don't take a lot of this stuff personally. When evil things happen to you, things that happen. And back to our car wreck analogy, some guy ran a stop sign. This idiot ran a stop sign for whatever reason and smashed it into your car. Now your car's wrecked. Now you've got hospital bills. You know, this is an evil thing. You broke your arm or whatever. It's an evil thing. But if like you're going through life and 6 months later, you just hate that guy because he did that, you're really destroying yourself. You're not supposed to do that. At some point in time, you have to understand, you have to accept that evil things happen to you. Let's continue. Now we move to verse 40. And if any man shall sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. How does this make any sense? We're going to get to it, so we're going to continue on so we can kind of get a bigger picture here. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. There's a bigger picture that the Lord is teaching us here, and we're going to get to it here. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do to them that hate you, or rather do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Okay, let's stop here, because there's a lot here to nail down here. One of the things you always have to remember, and we pound on this a lot here in the Church of the Lampshade, is the scripture, when Jesus is speaking, when God is instructing us, he doesn't deal in emotion, he deals in action. Just as when we're told that repentance is a part of forgiveness, repentance isn't feeling sorry for doing something. Repentance is the choices you make. You know, every time you decide not to do that sin again is repentance. It's an ongoing thing your entire life. For instance, you're battling alcoholism. Every time you choose not to drink, you are repenting. It's not an emotion, because you emotionally may be driven like, man, I could use a drink. But every time you make that decision, you whether by hook or crook, you purposely put yourself in a situation where you're not given the opportunity. It doesn't matter. You're repenting of that. It's action. And love is the same thing. Love is the same thing. Love in the scriptural sense is not a feeling. It's not a feeling that you have. It's not an emotion that you have. When the Lord's telling you to love these people, he's not telling you to go around like being in love with them. Go around and kiss on them. Yeah, do you think that's what he's saying? Go around and kiss your enemies. That's what you do to somebody you love? Well, of course not. Sounds silly. It obviously sounds silly. So what does he mean? What does love mean? And to bless these who curse you, and so on and so forth. What does all of this really mean then? Because those who sit there and try to frame this as cuckery, because they try to define love here as a human just strictly in the confines of an emotion, then what do you do with people you love? You go around and kiss them. Hell, the modern version of love is sex. Are you going to go around and have sex with your enemies? No. No. So what is it then? I mean, it's ludicrous to say you're supposed to go around kissing your enemies and hugging on them and things such as this. This is nonsensical. So what does love mean in the context of what we're discussing here? Well, let's see. Christ said that no man has a greater love than that he lay down his life for his friends. That was a description of the greatest love that Christ gave us. Love there, in this instance, in this illustration that Jesus has given us, sure as hell goes beyond being an emotion, isn't it? It's an action. Isn't it? No greater love hath a man than he says, I really love you, while he watches his friends go off and, take the heat or whatever. No greater love of the man than he laid down his own life for his friends. An action. You got to save your friends, and the only way you can save your friends is laying down your own life. That's love. That's an action, though. It's not a stupid, empty emotion. I can't imagine anybody being okay with laying down their life for their friends, and yet they do it. That's love. It's an action. It has nothing to do with emotion. So if Jesus has given us this illustration of love, so we have a clue of what to go by. We have confirmation that love in the scripture is an action. This is not a stupid, shallow human emotion that can come and go, and next week you may feel differently. And you look at people when they date, especially in this modern society, they're in love with somebody, and then next week they're in love with somebody else, and they done ghosted that last person. It's not a stupid, shallow human emotion. Again, Jesus has given us an example, a glimpse, a confirmation of this truth that love is action, the greatest love. So if we come down here and all of this talk, I would tell you, if you think of it in the context of the scripture here, it's simply treating people fairly. It doesn't mean you lay down and let them crap all over you. It means you treat them fairly, even when they're not treating you fairly. And this is a hard thing. It is a hard teaching. You see why sometimes Jesus would be telling people stuff and they're like, yeah, and he'd had like 10,000 people swarming around wanting to hear it. And then the next words that come out of his mouth, they're like, yeah, what? And next thing you know, he's back by himself with his 12 dudes. He's sitting alone on a mountain because that, it's a difficult thing. So if you just love your friends, if you just treat your, so if we think of it as treating people fairly, if you just treat people fairly that are like your friends and your family, well, whoop-de-doo. Everybody does that. You know, that's no great accomplishment. If you do your best to treat people fairly, even though they shit all over you, now there's something that takes some effort, isn't it? Let's go ahead and continue on here. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. People are difficult, really. People, dealing with people. Dealing with people is a difficult thing. It really is, because especially in our modern society, everybody's out for themselves. Everybody, if they've got the chance to screw you over, they're going to screw you over. Given half a chance, that they will. It's really difficult. People will slap you in the face. Maybe not literally, but they will slap you in the face. You know what I'm talking about. You do something right. You try to treat people right. You try to be fair. And what do? They turn around and slap you in the face. This happens. It happens all the time. They slap you in the face. And what do you do? When we're told to turn the other cheek here, we're being told that that doesn't mean now you're free to stop treating them fairly. I mean, there's some point in time you just got to, you know, people are going to be that way. You just simply cut them out of your life, and that's treating them fairly too. That's, you know, I mean, hey, you know, I'm telling you, I'm going to be upfront with you. I'm not going to put up with this. And as a result, I don't have nothing to do with you. That's treating them fairly too. You just want to be, you're just supposed to continue to treat people fairly. It's a difficult thing. Everybody treats someone fairly. You know, it's not hard to treat someone fairly that you know, hey, this guy always treats me fairly. You know, I'm going to treat him fair. Whoop-de-doo. You know, you try to treat your family who's always been good to you. Try to treat them fairly. Whoop-de-doo. Anybody can do that. That's not any sort of great reflection of the Lord. That's not any sort of great reflection where we're reflecting God out to the world in our lives. Everybody does that. You know, there's no great accomplishment. What's a great accomplishment, what's very difficult, is trying to treat people fairly that don't reciprocate. They don't treat you fairly. And again, that doesn't mean that you lay down and be a doormat. It doesn't mean you lay down and let people stomp all over your rights. It doesn't mean you just let people continually disrespect. You can treat people fairly and not put up with their shit either. You can do that. It takes a different level of discipline. I mean, anybody can chimp out. You know, anybody can chimp out and jump up and just simply start throwing punches. That's what blacks do. That's how they are. That's how their culture is. You disrespect me, I jump up, I'm going to sling punches at you. But there's a better way. At some point in time, I mean, somebody's throwing a punch, you got to defend yourself or whatnot. I mean, I'm not saying there's... But the point here is that you can treat people fairly and at the same time not put up with their nonsense. And treating people fairly who don't treat you fairly, I mean, this could be a tough thing. Really, I mean, again, if it was easy, everybody would do it. The easy stuff is what everybody does. You know, the path of your faith is a difficult path. It's a reality. Wish it was easy. If it was easy, everybody would do it. But the path of your faith is a difficult one. And treating people fairly who don't treat you fairly, it can be difficult. Of course it is. Of course it's supposed to be difficult. But again, understand this also, though, that doesn't mean you just continue to let somebody screw you over. You can treat them fairly and cut them off. You can treat them fairly and say, yeah, I see where you're going with this. And no, you're not going to take advantage of me. Because you also have to treat yourself fairly, you know, but that's not being unfair to them. You know, you're not returning wickedness for wickedness. You can deal with them fairly, and at the same time, you can cut them off. You can say, no, you're not going to do that. You know, look, I'm treating you fairly, but at the same time, you're not going to, you're not going to just step all over me. I'm not going to be your doormat. You're not going to sit here and make a mockery of me. You could do that and still treat people fairly. It's all about treating people fairly. You're not screwing someone over. You're not, oh, I got this opportunity to screw this guy over. And I remember 6 months ago, a year ago, 6 years ago, I remember that guy screwed me over. Guess what? It's payback time. That's not Christian. That's worldly. That's the way the world operates. God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Meaning, in the short life we have in this world, God gives everybody the opportunity. Everybody's got the opportunity. Everybody has the opportunity to choose a path. God is fair to everybody. There's nobody that's going to be able to come to judgment and say, God, I just didn't know. God gives everybody the fair opportunity. It's up to them what they do with it. But God gives everybody the opportunity. God treats everybody. God is treating everybody fairly by giving them the opportunity to accept his truth, to accept his salvation. Yeah, they have the freedom to take it or leave it, but he's treating them fairly. That doesn't mean when judgment comes around, they're not still going to hell. But he's been fair with them. He's still going to send them to hell. They'll gripe and complain and moan and throw a fit, I'm sure. But the fact of the matter is, God is treating them fairly. He gave them the fair opportunity. He gave them the fair chances. He gave them the fair same fair opportunities to choose truth, to choose salvation, and they chose not to. And then he's going to fairly send them to hell. But still, he's treating them fairly. And it's an important understanding because, again, as Christian believers, we try to be a reflection a little bit what we can. I mean, we're so imperfect, I realize, but we try to be a reflection of God. We try to be a reflection of Jesus Christ, our Savior, in our lives. And when you think of these things in this context, you can understand that, yes, you can treat people fairly. You can turn the other cheek. It doesn't mean you allow injustice. It doesn't mean that you're a doormat. It doesn't mean that you allow people to walk all over. It just simply means you treat people fairly, even those that don't deserve it. Because in the end, none of us deserve God's salvation, and yet he treats us fairly. He gives us the fair opportunity to find salvation, to find forgiveness for our sins. There are those who choose to take it. There are those who choose not to. We, as Christian believers, you're listening to this and you're a Christian believer, you've chosen the path of light. And as a part of walking that path, you are a reflection of the way the Lord operates. I'm doing it again. I believe we've made the point that needs to be made here. And I just so much hope that it's soaked in. I hope that it's meant something to you. And I hope that you really get it. So that when people throw this line of scripture in your faith, that this is some sort of cuckery, it means you got to be weakling, you got to be a doormat, that it doesn't affect you. I don't really care. If those people want to believe that, if that's, because people, there's just going to be a certain number of people that are going to, when you're a Christian, they're going to hate you. They're going to hate your beliefs, no matter what. Again, you can treat them fairly, but I have no intention of wasting my time on them. I don't. You don't want to let it affect you. Again, it's easy to, kind of going back to what we talked about at the beginning, it's easy to start letting that stuff soak in, and you start listening to who they tell you. You start listening to people, these other people tell you what your beliefs are, and you start trying to defend those beliefs, or you start looking at your own beliefs through the lens of what unbelievers tell you they are. And that's what we want to avoid here. And again, I hope it's soaked in. If it hasn't, go back and re-listen to it. It's one of the great things about these shows. It's not like it's a lot. It's not like you only get one opportunity if you don't use it. It was one of the advantages to sitting in an IRL church building. You know, if you miss a part of the sermon afterwards, you just out of luck. Well, you've got the opportunity. You go back and re-listen to it. You can get it. Yeah, so that is one of the good things. And I hope it has soaked in, and I hope it strengthens your faith. That's our goal here. It's what I want to ultimately do with this show. This today is a better picture of what I'm trying to do. What we, because you're a part of it too. You really are. No listeners. This is just me talking into the darkness to nobody. Y'all are a part of it too. And it's a this today, I think we have come closer to capturing, to doing what I really want this show to be than what we have so far. What are we? Episode 7. 7. 7 days God created the world. Maybe it took 7 days to really start creating this show to what we want it to be. And I think today, so if you've listened to the show today and you're like, well, this is total shit, I hate it, you're probably not going to like the shows going forward. You probably want to move on. But if you've listened to today's show and you're like, yes, this is something. This is something special. This is something, man, I'm writing this down. I don't want to miss an episode. You're going to like the future episodes. This, I think we've managed. And no, this isn't something I sat down before the show and wrote down. In fact, this week I've pretty much intentionally, I mean, yes, I wrote down what scripture we were going to cover today. But beyond that, I didn't sit down and write notes today. Because, again, I don't want to just keep talking at you. We want to get back to just having, if you go visit with somebody, if you go sit down and visit with somebody, do you write down your talking points before you go over to their house? Well, it's just silly. And so we didn't do that this week. I didn't do that this week. And again, if you like this week's show, I think you're going to like the shows moving forward. Because I think today, episode 7, we've kind of come close before on some previous episodes. Today, I think we've come the closest to really grabbing a hold of and really getting hold of and finally getting to where we want to be for what I want this show to look like moving forward. Again, if you don't like today's episode, you're probably going to like the others. You probably wouldn't want to move on. But if you did enjoy it, if you felt like I feel right now that today's show is something special, I think we're going to have a lot of special stuff, a lot of special visits as we move forward, because I think we're getting closer to really nailing down where we want to be. I hope you enjoyed the visit. I know I have. I hope you've enjoyed and got something out of the visit this week. And I definitely, of course, hope you've gotten something out of something to strengthen your faith and a greater understanding in your Christian faith from our sermon this week. And we will continue to do that. And that is going to continue to be the focus of the show. That's why it's called The Church of the Lampshade. It's going to be the centerpiece and the focus of this show. And again, I appreciate y'all stopping by. I really do. I appreciate you stopping by. I appreciate you joining us this week. I hope you did get something. I hope this week's show is as special to you as I feel like it is to me. And I hope it'll motivate you to come back and to visit again. Again, reminder at the bottom of the description page, ways you can support what we're doing. And it is very much appreciated. If I don't have the opportunity to send you a personalized response, I'll just say it here again. I do appreciate it more than you know, and more encouraging than you can imagine that those of you who said, because when this all first happened, and we got to wrap up, but I'm just going to say, when this first happened, there was this influx, and I knew there would be, because everybody was talking about my doxing and this and that, and everything that was happening to me. And there was this large, you know, wow, you know, but everybody by and large has moved on. My support now are those of you who have been with me a long time. Long-time Lampshade listeners, those of you, I see these familiar names, those of you, you know, you've been around a while, maybe some of you haven't been around a while, but you really, you've tuned in, you've liked what we're doing, and you've stuck around. You know, the big buzz has moved on now, and now what's left are those of you who really, we've been together for a while, and I look forward to moving together in the future. Folks, we'll see you next week. You know where to catch us. The Church of the Lampshade. It'll be right here on Radio Arion next week on Tuesday. We'll see you then.